Yes, we read from Deuteronomy 11, 1 to 28. And while you're finding that, John has been feeding us very well this week. He's been preaching the word, keeping it simple, easy to understand, speaking the truth. And I believe he's been doing it in love. And I wasn't sure if I was going to say this or not. I said to John last evening, I think Brother Roy Hobaker said this years ago. I told him he's doing a good job of keeping the hay low in the rack where we can eat. I thought John would understand what I was trying to say. I've been very richly blessed to be here and listen. Deuteronomy 11, 1 to 28. And in my Bible, there's a number of headings in this chapter. The first seven verses is God's great acts. The second, from verses 8 to 12, is the land of milk and honey. Verses 13 to 17 is God will send rain and harvest. And then 18 to the end of the chapter, or verse 28, love the Lord. There's a lot in this. Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge, and his statutes, and his judgments, and his commandments always. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children which have not known, and which have not seen, the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm, and his miracles and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh and the king of Egypt and unto all his land. And what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses and to their chariots, how he made the waters of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day. I'm going to pause there for a moment. I always envisioned a narrow path through the Red Sea, but it had to be very wide for a million men plus their families and all their belongings to go through that sea. And I had looked some time ago, and the deepest part of the Red Sea, if my memory is correct, is somewhere close to 1,000 feet deep at the deepest point. That was a miraculous thing that happened. It wasn't just a nice little path through a shallow sea. And what he did unto you in the wilderness until he came in this place, and what he did unto Dathan and Abiram, the son of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their households and their tents, and all the substance that was in their tents, in their possession, in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out, where thou sowedest thy seed and wateredest it with thy foot, as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it, it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rains of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even until the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandment, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto you, unto your fathers, to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourself. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse, a blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. Verse 26. Verse 27. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord. That's a key verse. If we obey. Brother John is going to, I believe, speak on obedience tonight. The title, Obey God and His Word. Let us kneel with these words on our minds.
Again, good evening and welcome everyone to the Lord's house tonight. It's again good to...
I will be honest, I'm starting to have to press the throttle just a little harder the farther we get on to the week. But the Lord has been good to us. Thank you, Brother Marvin, for reading and your comments. Just what I call my little appetizers, as I was thinking today about the message tonight, just some questions came to mind. The first one is, who are we working for? Are we working for self? Or are we working for God in His Spirit? What does it pay? Well, Romans chapter 6, verse 23 came to mind. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So what I want to challenge us with this evening, I hope we are obeying God. I hope we are working unto God, because Satan has nothing to offer us but death. Where on the contrast, Jesus gives the gift or opportunity to live with him in eternity. Satan is the father of lies. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Who do you want to work for tonight? But actually, it's not work. It's our opportunity. In light of what all that God has done for us, he gives us the opportunity to live for him, the opportunity to serve him. We're just going to skim over this chapter. There's way too much in here, but a couple of thoughts I'd like to pull out of Deuteronomy 11 here is, first of all, obey God and his word. It's a major subject, but there's just a couple things. Verse 1, Moses is teaching the children of Israel to obey God. That's what he's trying to get across to them. And, you know, Jesus teaches us the same in John chapter 14, verse 15. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So, you know, the Old Testament parallels the New in many ways. Verses 2 through 7, Brother Marvin touched on this briefly, but Moses is reminding them when they disobeyed God, it got them into trouble. But when they obeyed God, he delivered and he blessed them. And it's the same thing today. As we live in sin, there's no hope for victory. But as we live and abide in the confines and the commandments of God's word, there is victory. That is where it's found. Verse 8 would testify to that. Verses 13 and 14. So the formula basically is pretty simple. Obey God, and we tap into his blessings upon our lives, and victory is ours. If we disobey, we originate his or activate his anger, and defeat and chastisement is dealt to us. It's just that simple. Verses 18 through 21 would teach us by obeying God's word, we are teaching our children the reality of God's word. And I believe it's so important that they see God manifested in our lives. That's where they need to see it. And if we're not obeying God as adults, don't expect your children to obey you. Again, it's pretty simple. God will be real to our children by them seeing him at work in our lives and us obeying him. And there was verses 22 and 23 really hit home as Brother Marvin read over that. You know, there is no hope of victory in our lives if we're not willing to live for the Lord and to do his commandments. And that's what he tells us here. If we live for him, if we do his will, then the Lord will drive out all those things that Satan tries to bring to us. But if we're enjoying them and not fighting against them, we're not going to have victory. God will only be on our side as we're on his side. And verses 26 through 28, again, it's pretty basic. We need to choose God or self. The choice will determine victory or defeat. We'd like to look at two accounts here this evening real quickly. Genesis chapter 17. I want to read a couple verses just to get the setting. Genesis verses 17, verses 1 through 9. It says, when Abram was 90 years old and 9, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. I will make thee exceedingly faithful, and I will make nations out of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God had said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. And then he goes God goes and he visits in verse 15 and 16. He talks to Sarah, or he's sharing with Abraham about Sarah. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Remember, with God, all things are possible. Abraham is wondering that right now. So that's a setting for Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 18 says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Another word for tempt here would be test him, try him. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, and where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And can't we in our minds imagine that same question as poor Isaac was walking up here with his father? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them up together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay him. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, lay not thine hand upon thy lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thine son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went, took the ram, offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thine son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sands which are upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And again, we don't have time to dig into this like we should. But my question is, you know, as we look at this account, I ask myself, what was God thinking here? We read the promises of Abraham's descendant being as it says here, the stars of the sea, the stars of the sky, I'm sorry, and the sand of the sea. And now here God is asking him to sacrifice him. But as we see, he was testing Abraham's love and obedience to him. The scripture talks about God being a jealous God. God will not tolerate anyone or anything to come between him and his people. And that's important tonight as we go through life, as we live in this land of America, spoiled, rotten. We can have anything we want, and if we don't, we can do anything we want. But how often do I fear it hinders our walk with God? I trust that there's nothing that you're allowing to get between you and him, because he won't tolerate it. The test for Abraham was to obey God or keep his son. And us the parents, that would have been a major, major test. But praise God, Abraham came through. He chose to obey God and keep his faith in God. And in him doing that, it gives us a picture. It gave the children of, it gave Abraham and Isaac here a future picture of God giving his son for our salvation. And can you imagine if you would have been Isaac? Can you imagine how that would have affected your life? To see that your dad loved his God so much. And then to see your dad's God spare my life, saying, you know, I'm being Isaac here. Can you imagine the courage, the faith, the strength that that would have gave Isaac as he went through the rest of his life? Seeing the faithfulness of his dad and his God. What about you and I? Are we willing to obey to the degree of Abraham, which was 100%? Or is there someone or something that we're unwilling to lay on the altar of sacrifice tonight? If there's a situation in our lives that we're unwilling to put on the altar, the Lord's will not be accomplished in our lives, nor will we have victory in Jesus. And as we look back at verse 8, just some passing thoughts here. Isaac asks, you know, where is the lamb? And as our children asked our questions about the Bible and situations of life, do we have the faith of Abraham that we can say, my son, God will provide? Are we teaching our children the faithfulness and the goodness of the Lord? And I believe here, this is actually, again, fast forward to Jesus' crucifixion. Abraham also knew that God himself would provide a lamb for the lost of the world. Now we'd like to look at a different man. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15. I'll just say on the own start, in these two accounts, we want to be Abraham. 1 Samuel 15. For sake of time, I'm going to just have to summarize this, but it's the account of Saul. He's instructed to go kill Agag and all the company of the town there where they were going into. And we'll just start here at verse 11. It says, this is the Lord talking to Saul. It says, it repented me that I have set thee up, Saul, to be king. For he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandments of the Lord. And Samuel said, wait a minute. What's that I hear? What meaneth thou this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of oxen which I hear? And then Esau, he comes up with excuses. He brought them back to sacrifice and whatnot. And verse 22 says, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as is in iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." And Saul said unto Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." And it's amazing the difference here. You know, why wouldn't Saul, instead of running out and meeting Samuel and telling him all the good things he'd done, it had to take Samuel pointing out his wrong to bring him to the place. And my suggestion here is Saul only is to this place because of the kingdom being taken away and what Samuel pronounced on him. Now Saul says, "Oh, you know what? Yeah, I'm sorry." A little lame, I guess, if you ask me. But so, yeah, the challenge here is God would much rather we choose obedience and life rather than disobedience and death. Because if you do the math, obedience equals life. Disobedience equals death. And I think we would all agree that tonight God would choose life over death. What a tragic outcome, because Saul, for whatever reason, did not obey what he was told to do. But then as I look at this through the eyes of 2026, God asks us to crucify ourselves, to live a pure, live a holy life, keep that connection open, keep the highway open between me and him. I question if I really would have done any different. I mean, with the price of beef today, you're going to bring all them beef back and kill them? Really? You see, just if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes greed gets in the way. I think Saul, I mean, when he went in there and seen all them beautiful animals, dollar signs just clicked. Dollar signs just click. But, you know, what about you and I? When we're faced with tough decisions, when God asked us to do something against what I want to do, are we willing to do it? Are we counting the cost? Are we willing to lay the things of this life down to serve Jesus? I trust we are. A lesson we can learn here also is disobedience has consequences. Here it cost Samuel his kingship. I'm going to tell you a little story happened last night. But y'all got to keep a secret, okay? Because Melody cannot know that I told you this. Last night, we're heading home, and we're heading through Gettysburg, and on the west side of Gettysburg, we're just chilling into our snack, right? Eating away, just whatever. Uh-oh. Next thing we know, there's a car behind us, and the disco lights come on. Yeah. She looks at me like, "What did I do?" I was, "I don't know." So Mr. Officer comes up. Well, what you got to realize is, and you all know this, it's 25 mile an hour there. So he comes up to my side and, "You know why I pulled you over?" And we're like, "No." "Well, you were going a little fast." So anyway, he was a nice cop. And he just told her, he said, "Now next time, slow down." So, yeah. I mean, like I said, don't tell her I told you. Let's look at Psalms 51. Psalms 51. And yeah, that's what I thought. These verses sort of parallel what we just read. But verses 15 through 17 says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall shew forth thy praise. For thou desireth not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delighteth not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. And there's where it's at. Total obedience with God. Total obedience to God, I believe, comes from a broken spirit, a broken heart, a desire to do whatever God would ask me to do. Total obedience comes as a result of our hearts and soul being broken before the Lord, desiring to do his work and allowing him to have his way and will working in our lives. So I want to try and bring a little comparison here as we look at that thought. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 15. Okay, I'm sorry. That's why it's not looking right. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says, What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And then verses 15 through 18 says, What then, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? Whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. So if we have, you know, the thought in mind that it's better to obey than sacrifice, that same thought is continued here, carried through into the New Testament. Just because Jesus died and provided a way of salvation, provided a means of forgiveness, it does not give us the right to sin. I'm concerned some people think they can disobey Scripture and do what they want, enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, or whatever they feel like it, then they will just seek forgiveness. Paul says, God forbid. God's grace is to keep us from sinning. It does not give us the liberty to sin. I just have wrote down here, I mean, I fail easy enough without trying it. This is not a permission to just sin, but rather, we're to read the Bible, we're to obey the truths and instructions contained therein. The last example we'd like to look at is our perfect example. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. It says, So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. You see the importance of obedience tonight? I'm going to suggest it's part of our salvation. Philippians chapter 2. verses 5 through 11. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God, to the glory of God and the Father." Verse 8 says it so well. "Because of the obedience of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he made a way through the work of Calvary that we can have victory in Jesus and we can have a home in heaven with him." So this evening, just as Christ had to be obedient unto the death of the cross, so you and I must be obedient and bring ourselves to the cross. Crucify self, that Jesus Christ can live and reign in our lives. The song says, "I serve a risen master. He's in the world today. I know that he's living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always there. In the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he's leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek him. The help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind." The chorus says, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You may ask how I know he lives within my heart. Tonight, if Jesus is not living in your heart, if you have not crucified your flesh to the ways of the Lord, we want to give you an invitation as we sing an invitation song. What shall we sing?
684.
We'll ask Brother Marvin if he'll lead us in prayer. Let's stand.